Okay. Hey, everybody. This is the Mean Green Nation podcast, episode 21, entitled, I pre-titled this show, Throwbacks, because that is really the topic of the day. If you missed it today, the big news was that the University of North Texas went out and got themselves a new uniform for one game only, turns out. We saw it, and we looked at it, and we all are excited. We all have... I think there's some people, I saw some people hated it for whatever reason. They're like, oh, I don't like the dark green. It's really cool the way they did it, and we're going to get into that. My guests today are Justin Brummett from, I guess you're from a lot of places, and Tony D'Souza. Basically, they're both from the internet. That's where I found them.
We originated from the internet.
Yeah.
Yes.
I come from the internet. That's a terrible...
I was actually born out of a computer.
Yeah. All right, and I am Adam, UNT alumnus, and I guess editor in chief, creator, founder, Mean Green Nation. What is Mean Green Nation? It's basically a blog where I get to rant about North Texas goings on. Occasionally, other people jump on and they put their thoughts on there. In case you haven't found out, I know I got a lot of new followers in the time since we last podcasted. But welcome to the show, peoples. So let's get into it, shall we? Big news today. Justin, you were there, live and in person. What happened?
Lots of things happened today. Coach McCarney came up at about 1:30 today and had his annual Media Day press conference. And it was a good time. It had a lot of interesting things he said about the quarterbacks and who he expects to be there. About the defense and all the guys he has there. Just overall, he has a really good feeling going into the season, and he finally feels like maybe he has his own guys, finally. He talked a lot last year about the fact that he's still working in to getting his team because he's taking over players from the previous regime and all that kind of stuff. So he seemed really excited about having his guys and also really excited about opening up at home this year.
Yeah, but I think the big news, of course, obviously, was like the uniforms. What did you think of them, man? Were you you're a big fan?
I was a huge fan of the uniforms. I love the green. I love the plain. I think it was kind of cool to just go with the plain uniforms, just the white letters and the stuff on the sleeves there. And then I love the helmets. I think the helmets are sweet.
Yeah, the flying worm.
Yes.
Tony, you've got a chance to see them. What did you think?
I think they're awesome. The flying worm is what everybody wanted, and so I'm glad that we got to see it. And I know a lot of people are complaining that, you know, it's not in its original form. It's not, you know, it used to be on a green helmet and all this stuff. But, you know, I think it's awesome. It looks really cool. I love the neon green sticking out of it and everything like that, too. And the uniforms, you know, like Justin said, just simple, plain, you know, brings you back. You think of Joe Green era. You think of that time, Abner Hands, all that kind of stuff. And it's just awesome. I've heard people say it kind of looks like the New York Jets uniform a little bit, but
it does.
You know, it's pretty awesome, and I really like it. I think the whole mesh and the whole way that they, you know, you could tell that they took it serious and combined certain things but made it look really good.
Yeah, I think that's one thing important to point out here is like they designed it, you know, like to incorporate all the different eras. This is the 100th year anniversary of North Texas football, and so they wanted to incorporate little things here instead of just like, you know, a lot of times you see you know, throwback uniforms to a specific team, like, you know, the 1963 championship team, you know, et cetera, but like, you know, like you said, this one incorporates the flying worm, which everybody loves. I think RV was saying on the GoMeanGreen.com podcast, their little interview with him, that, you know, like for most of North Texas history, we've had white helmets, and so that's kind of what that is, you know. And like you said, the forest green, you know, like the style of the jersey is like the Mean Joe Green era, and the forest, the dark green, is the, like, you know, the Sun Belt winning, you know, back to back teams there of the early 2000s. So like, it's really a nice touch. I think we did it right. You know, for a team that doesn't really do uniforms well, I think. I think we leave a lot on the table there. I know. I'm one of the people that wants to have like the diving eagle, like, you know, basically the logo that we have now. You know, the green eagle, the cool one, right? Yeah, why is that not on the helmet?
They call it the sun of worm, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
No, I think they did a fantastic job. The only negative is they're only going to wear it for one game.
Yes, yeah. They're going to auction it off after the game. Yeah. So you can own a piece of history. I think they're going to get Mean Joe Green himself to autograph the 75 jersey, and then, you know, you can purchase that.
It's just a nice change of pace. You know, a lot of days I like new uniforms and things. Oregon, I think, does a pretty cool job, and Maryland as well. But just the plain uniform is just a really cool way of throwing it out there. I think the players really enjoyed it too.
Yeah, I think so too. I think, like, in this era of, like, fancy uniforms, I think Oregon's kind of started the trend. You know, they had, like, every different color combination, and once they ran out of color combinations, they added more colors, like silver and metallic and reflective, whatever. You know, like, we're kind of falling behind. We've had, you know, and I totally, that's totally a way to go, you know? Like, you can have a classic-looking uniform, you know, like a simple kind of thing, like, you know, your Nebraskas or your Wisconsin kind of thing. It just has to look good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is the movement in the right direction, I'll say, as I stutter through that sentence.
And I think it's gonna fire everybody up too. I think you know, the fan base is already excited for this game, for the 100th year, and for everything else. But seeing these uniforms, I think, is just kind of pumping everybody up. We're all ready for the 31st now, and I think it's gonna be a good crowd. It's gonna be an awesome day at Apogee, and it's gonna be cool seeing them run out of the tunnels in those uniforms.
Yeah, it may be end up being one of the best atmospheres that Apogee's ever seen in its short time of being around. But I think it's also great. Kids love this stuff. I mean, the players were fired up about it when the coaches showed it to them the other day. And, you know, it helps get recruits when you have things like this every once in a while too. So throwing in a throwback uniform every year, once a game or one year, it's a nice thing to for the kids as well. They really enjoy that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I think it kind of ties into what Dan McCarney wants to do here. He kind of wants to, you know, like, bring back some of the old guys and kind of build a sense of tradition, a sense of place for North Texas. And, you know, this goes a long way towards doing that. The other thing, like you mentioned there, that he was excited about having the home opener in Apogee. This is, like, the first time that we've done that, a home opener there in Denton. And you guys mentioned how crazy the atmosphere is going to be. Do you think it's going to pass up that Houston game, you know, the opener, which was surprisingly, I don't know, relatively low-key? I mean, it was not sold out, I guess, is what I'm trying to say there. What do you guys think, Tony?
Well, I mean, I don't think this one's going to sell out either. I think it'll be a good crowd. I'm expecting about probably 26, 27. But I think atmosphere-wise, it might be better because, you know, you're not, you know, I think the Houston game we played, I don't remember who we played before them, but, you know, we got killed. And, you know, it's always bad when you start out 0-1 or 0-2 and then you have to come home for your first game. And just having that clean slate and coming in and, you know, getting a chance right away to play at home is a huge thing.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's something that the big part, Tony, caught on there is the fact that when you go on the road to start a season for the last 12 years, you can come home with a loss, or you can come home 0-1 or 0-2 and 0-3, and that brings the whole morale of the fan base here that doesn't need to have low morale, you know, down even further, and then you end up with lackluster crowds and things like that. So I don't know if it's going to surpass that or sell out or anything like that, but I think the atmosphere is going to be crazy.
Yeah, agreed. All right, let's move on from uniform talk and let's get to some of the things, the very, very interesting things that Coach Mack said, including that he's not going to redshirt Dejon Williams. I think that, like, kind of shocked me, and I kind of forgot about the uniform thing. I was really looking forward to the uniform thing, but after that, I was like, "What? What am I missing here?" And I know there was like some, there was some like, you know, like rumors from practice that he was doing really well, but, you know, I thought that was kind of like, oh, he's surprisingly good. He's going to compete. And, you know, that would kind of die down as the incumbents kind of, like, you know, got back into the flow of things, but apparently not. And he's making an impression. Justin, you were there. What did he say?
He was very adamant in saying that Dejon Williams was not going to be redshirted and that he was going to have an opportunity to come out and compete like the rest of the quarterbacks, which was really surprising. You've got to think, with three other quarterbacks ahead of him on the depth chart, that if he's not going to be redshirted a week into the fall, they're already making that decision, that he put a big impression on the coaches and that he's going to have a chance to play eventually in the system. this year, or it'd be a waste of a year for a kid that should probably be sitting there, you know, getting the time in practice and the reps and come back next year as a redshirt freshman. So it was really interesting to hear what he said, but the most important thing he said was that no one is taking a clear lead in this QB battle, and that they are battling every single day and no one's taking the reins. So it's going to be kind of confusing to see what happens to start the season, and he's got to make a decision, you know, in the next couple weeks when they get ready to prepare for Idaho. One of the big things is he's got to see who he's going to choose, and he also said he wasn't going to stray away from the possibility of maybe having a multiple QB system.
I don't know, that was weird.
Someone just hacked into our stream here.
Dual quarterback system, which is intriguing yet scary.
Yeah,
I think you have to be like you have to really know what you're doing to get that right. And I think like off the top of my head, I can think of like two teams, maybe three teams that did it. It was like Ohio State in like 98 with the there was like the white dude and the black dude. I know that sounds terrible. And then there was like the Florida, Tim Tebow and what's his face?
Chris Leak.
Yeah, and then recently, you know, was the what you call it guys? The ULM guys. Those two. That's like it. It's off the top of my head.
I know Oklahoma's been doing like some stuff like that last year with that Bell kid they have, you know, but it's only like goal line stuff. And I'm sorry, there goes my phone. Only like goal line stuff. But still, it's a really tough thing to do, and you have to have rapport with all the receivers and the running backs and the offensive line for both guys, and it's a weird dynamic in the locker room, and I just don't know how they're gonna make it all work if that's what they end up doing.
Yeah, that's really weird. But you know, the thing also too is that like, I mean, it may be just that they stick like Derek Thompson as a starter, and then you know bring in DeJuan Williams and kind of just like you know prep him for being the guy like later on this year. You know, is that a possibility? What do you guys think about that?
I think that's possible. I think I'd be more comfortable with something like that than I don't want to run a two quarterback system throughout, like have one quarterback play the first quarter, one quarterback play the second quarter. I don't want to do that kind of stuff. To me, that, you know, you just need to find your quarterback, stick with it, and go that way no matter who it's going to be. So I don't mind, you know, if you got the freshman or whatever, bringing them in. If you're blowing a team out or if you're losing by a lot, just bring them in to get some snaps or something like that. But I don't want to see a revolving door. I want one person, and that's kind of how I feel about it.
I kind of agree with you as well, and I think that leaving a revolving door open with having a quarterback play for multiple series and then bringing someone else in is only going to create more questions inside your locker room, from the media, from everybody, and it's just going to have every single mistake that each quarterback makes. They're going to make mistakes. It's just going to make everything amplified, and I think that puts you down the wrong path with a team like this, especially a team that has a senior quarterback on it and a lot of veterans. Especially if it's going to end up being a freshman quarterback that ends up doing that kind of stuff, then it just really ends up throwing the whole team off.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think I'm mostly a believer in the adage that if you have two quarterbacks, then you have none. Again, you have to really be able to do that right. And hopefully, if that is the path that we're going down, I mean, there's still quite a ways to go before the first game. Hopefully, they figure that out. Hopefully, a man steps up and takes the job, or, you know, like they kind of figure out the best way to do it, keep people off balance. I mean, he might be just talking. It might be just, you know, talk to get everybody hyped up about the future here. About maybe recruits like feel like they have an opportunity to join the team. You know what I mean? Like, you know, if I go to North Texas, I can make an impact early, that kind of thing. Who knows? I don't know.
That definitely could be it too. I don't know. But I think a statement that big from Coach McCarney, and he's kind of a guy that I wouldn't think would beat around the bush too much about stuff like that. He's going to tell it to you straight. And so it's kind of weird to have such confidence in a kid and having him not be redshirted just after the first week of practice. Just a lot of confidence shown by him.
And the thing I think that's concerning too is Derek Thompson is your senior quarterback. If anybody, he should have taken those reins and be breaking away from the pack at this point. He's played for two full seasons plus the game or whatever that he played against Arkansas State a couple of years ago. But I mean, at this point, he should be separated and he should be so far away from everybody else. And the fact that he's not, I think, I think it's more of a concern, actually, than a good thing at this point.
Yeah, because it either means that everybody else is, like, you know, so good that they are competing with the senior quarterback, or it means that, like, nobody's stepping up. What were you going to say there, Justin?
That could be the case. So, I mean, that's definitely something that could be, but it does scare you too, because you had him and Brock, and it was like those two are going to go at it, and you're going to be good if probably either one of them are your quarterback, and now you're looking at a freshman coming in and competing for some sort of playing time. You don't know what it is, but it is a little concerning also.
Yeah. Okay. So moving on from the quarterback, I don't know, you know, we call it a controversy, the quarterback news, the Dejon Williams news is what it was. Some like roster shuffling there. Like Mike Marshall's going to play wide receiver. Some other guys are moving to safety. I think the person that knows that best right now is Justin. I think he wrote all this down. So who's moving where and why?
I think he said Freddie Warner is going to be moving to free safety from cornerback due to the fact that he's had a few injuries, and they're just going to try and put him at safety and see if maybe he can hold that down, stay healthy, and help out the defensive backs in that capacity. Also, I forget the name now. I don't have it written down in front of me, but we have a corner moving to receiver.
Mike Marshall.
Yes. Yeah. Mike Marshall is going to be moving to receiver. What he said is that he's not going to jump into the and break into the depth chart, into the two deep there in the defensive backfield. So what they're going to do is just put him at receiver and see if he can work out there. I think McCarney was just, you know, the guy's not going to have a chance to play as defensive back here at this stage or in the near future, next year or two. So we're going to need to move him so that he can try and produce somewhere for this team.
It's kind of like a last gasp kind of.
Yeah, it's kind of what it seemed like with that, in kind of the nicest way you could say it. I've kind of lost my train of thought on what the other ones were that were happening.
Was it James Jones moving somewhere?
No, he's staying.
Okay. No, the other news that you mentioned, I guess, pregame, was Kanaka's Sashington is, like, officially done.
Yeah, he's officially done, battled with injuries for a couple of years. Coach McCarney had nothing but high praise for him, saying that he's a great guy and he's been great around the team, but he just can't continue to go on, you know, when you're getting beat up so much and you can't get healthy, that there's really no chance in even trying to push on anymore and putting your body at more risk. So he's hanging up the cleats, he said, and he will be done and not play any more going forward.
The other news, the other, like, I guess, praise was Laramie Lee. He got a lot of praise there. Said he's not, like, the biggest, the strongest, or the fastest, but he always makes plays.
He said he was very, very quiet person. On the field, off the field, and he said if you could have more of guys like Laramie Lee inside of your locker room, then you'd be a better team. And he just praised him for everything he does. He says he finally gets it everywhere on the field. When you get it and you know where you're going, you know what you're doing, you can play at a whole nother speed, and it's just going to make him a better player going forward.
All right. Anything else? Any other news, like pertinent information there, I guess, that we need from that press conference? I think, like, again, the three things I took from it were, like, excited about the new season, finally got our guys in, it's looking like we have a team now, like, you know, like you were mentioning, a Dan McCarney-type team, and, you know, he said privately when he first joined UNT that, you know, like, this was not a FBS school or a D1 team, that he's never seen a team in worse-looking shape kind of deal, so he spent the last 2.5 years, like, working on that.
I think the main thing that we took from everything that he said was just that, like you said, he's building a program here, and it's taken this long to get it to not even where he needs it to be. He doesn't have, you know, a full roster of guys that he just, you know, the kind of guys that he wants, but he's at the point where he can continue to bring them to the next level. They've used all their – I mean, they have a full roster of scholarship guys. I mean, they're really at a point now where he can continue to build this program and make it what he wants it to be, which is one, in my opinion, that's heading in the right direction, because he seems like he leads that team in a way that nobody's been able to in a while.
Yeah, all right. That's – I mean, you know, Justin, I completely agree on that. It's just, you know, this the team, this depth, everything here is so – so much better than where it was 2-3 years ago. The leadership, everything. It's a real college football team for the first time in a long time. And that's a great thing.
Yeah. And the thing is, I think the defense is going to be outstanding. The offense still has a lot of questions outside of the running game, I think, and maybe the offensive line. But I think the defense is going to be just an outstanding unit. And if they can get pressure on the quarterback and force turnovers like they weren't able to last year, there's no telling what the team can do with the kind of talent they have on the defense side of the ball.
Yeah. And the problems they had on defense last year, they were surprisingly stout. They were pretty good. The young corners kind of got beat by some teams that like to do some fancy things. And we really are over – because we couldn't get any pressure with the D-line there, we had to do some blitzes and do some pressure there. And when especially against Arkansas State, when they were running some kind of play action type things, our corners would get beat and they were going over the top. A lot of the big plays that came, even against Troy, when they basically hit one big play on us, and that sealed it all up. It was also combined with the fact that the offense didn't move anywhere, like you were saying, Justin. So it was kind of a weird season last year. I think they were better than their record, and then even that 20.9 points a game show. They had a decent enough running game in certain spots. I think it would have been better if the passing offense would have helped out the run game a little bit. But that's last year. Hopefully this season, they'll get all that fixed. I mean, that's basically what we're hoping for anyway, right, guys?
I think besides a couple, big blowouts last year, they stayed in a lot of games. And two things on the offensive side of the ball that McCartney said that are just kind of coming back to me is that Breland Chancellor, he expects to get the ball in his hands a lot more this year and try and get him out in space and make plays. He said that, getting behind LSU's defense multiple times in a game is no fluke, and they didn't do anything, any trickery to get him back there. And so he says he has a lot of skill, and he thinks there are going to be a lot of really good things there. And also that the offensive line and the offensive line coaching is fantastic under the coaches that they've had there set up over the last couple of years. And last year that they – I believe they led the nation in not allowing sacks. So he was very big on that as well, praising those two groups.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. They only allowed 6 sacks the whole season, which is a phenomenal stat. And, the thing with Chancellor getting the ball more is great, but we've also got to have other wide receivers step up too, because, you can only do so much with one guy, and if they start double teaming them and everything else, you just got to be able to have some other guys there make impacts. And I think we will. I think with the use of the tight ends more and everything else, we got, a JUCO kid coming in from tight end, and we've got a couple other guys back, and I think that's going to be a huge position to utilize and to help take that pressure off Breland Chancellor.
He didn't happen to mention anything about the running backs, did he? Because they had a couple guys tearing it up there.
He didn't even mention anything about the new guys coming along, or really even Bird or Jimerson. All he said was that that's the only position over the last few years that has had competition at it since he's been here. And that he's finally excited that other positions are starting to have competition. But he really didn't go into a whole lot of detail, and really weren't many questions asked about the running game, because I think that's one thing that they can think of that's really not a question at all going into the season.
Definitely. The other note that I have here is that he liked the D-line. He has a 10-man rotation thing, and he's comfortable with it, and he's going to stick Ryan Botwell inside. Is that about right? Is that about sum it all up there?
That did, yeah. And he was really excited about both lines having 8 to 10 guys that they can bring in and out, and they just haven't been able to do that the last few years. So that's got to help with getting to the quarterback also. Yeah. So I think he's just really happy with the depth he has all over the field, and it really ought to help this team make big strides this year.
Which is amazing. All right, well, that kind of wraps up everything from the press conference. Is there anything else that we want to talk about before we kind of wrap up this episode of the Mean Green Nation podcast with their audio problems? Tony, you got anything? I'm a little disappointed. I'm like, what the hell? I can't figure it out. I tested all this stuff. It was great, too. Tony, you got anything you want to add?
The only thing is I'm excited again to see this defense for another year under the same coordinator. Having a coordinator there for 2 years in a row is something, honestly, that this program hasn't had in quite a while. I mean, I know we had 2 years at Deloach under Dodge, but I don't know if that really counts. It's just having a solid defensive system, and, the guys, and hearing Zach Ward talk about this during the Conference USA media days, saying that, it's so much easier and you're so much more comfortable to be able to react to a system when you already know what's happening. Last year, you could kind of tell that there was times when they froze up and times when they weren't really sure what to do. And I know we have the talent, but just being able to have them be able to play in the system and react and make, you know, big plays and stuff like that, I think you're going to see a huge improvement on a team that already had a pretty good defense last year.
Yeah, and on top of that, there were like a few guys that were stepping in that had never played the position or, you know, had no experience playing said position or filling in for guys that got injured. I think the defense did really well. I totally agree with you there. Justin?
Yeah, just really the only thing that I take out of all of this is that, like I said, that McCartney just has done really well in building this program up and getting them on the right track. So Marcus Trice was telling me that that the entire team is just a big family and they all trust each other on the field and they all push each other to work harder every day. And that, you know, he's only been here under Coach McCartney and not under any of the previous regime, but he says the type of close-knit family and atmosphere that he runs has just made this team come closer and get better every single day and work harder. So I think that's just going to continue to pay off huge dividends going forward.
Sweet. All right. I think next time we do this podcast, some things I want to talk about are some things that I've noticed, like on the message boards, on Twitter, here and there, basically. Is that like, apparently there's like a thing now between like UNT and UTSA, which I kind of expected this to happen. I guess we'll talk about rivals, whether or not you want them. I saw Deshaun Williams, I retweeted the thing I tweeted about. Like, I don't mind having UTSA as a rival. I think that's a good thing. And there's a lot of similarities there. Other things that are going to happen that we're going to talk about, more Tony Mitchell. I'm kind of a Detroit Pistons fan now. I don't know about you guys. Are you guys excited about Detroit's basketball season?
You know, if Tony Mitchell can ever get on the court, then I think he, because he's behind some really good players that they've brought in and already had there. If he can get on the court, then I think he'll be fun to watch because he really showed during the summer league that he can do some stuff at that level. And everybody loves high motor guys, so I think it'll be fun to watch him if he gets on the court.
Yeah, I'm not a big NBA fan in general, but I'd definitely watch him if he's playing. I mean, you know, I want to see him do good. I want to see him represent this university like I know he can. So, you
know, I know there's going to be a combo date there. It's like in February, which is a long, long ass way away. But February is like 26th, 27th, or 27th, 28th. I forget. But, you know, I'm down in San Antonio, and I know that the Pistons are going to make their way down here, play the Spurs. And then the following night, UNT is going to come down here and play UTSA. So I will be doing a double. I'm excited about that.
Nice. That sounds fun.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to get to more of that. We're going to do a little mini, you know, kind of following Tony Mitchell around in his NBA career. Talk some more about, you know, rivals, Conference USA, maybe get into some of these teams that we're going to be playing this season that we haven't seen before. You know, like Tulsa, et cetera, those kind of guys.
That's a good one.
Yeah. And so, like, you know, expect more of that. Mean Green Nation podcast. You know, it's usually me and Tony. Sometimes we try to bring Justin in here when he's not busy, et cetera, et cetera. You can find me, I guess, Mean Green Nation on Twitter, Mean Green Nation. And other podcasts that I do, Josephine Street Podcast. It's like, I got into this thing, and then, like, I can't stop now. I'm addicted. And, you know, we do some other ones, like, what, Deranged Penguin, which I'm going to do next, which is funny. You should listen to it. And then, you know, another sports one. Like in the technology one, too. It's fun stuff. You guys should listen. Anywhere else that we can find you guys on the internet that you want to advertise right now?
Just find me at Justin Brumman on Twitter, and that can get you everywhere else I go.
And yeah, you're doing like the NT Daily thing. You're like on TV now. I'm like, jeez, guy.
I'm at T D'Souza 87, D-E-S-O-U-S-A. Not the easiest last name in the world to spell. But it's there.
Yeah, you went away from your other one, what, Boston?
Well,
Sports,
yeah, I had Boston Mean Green.
And it does have USA in it.
It does. I know, my last name, and it's not American at all, but, you know, Portuguese, but who cares? So,
it's there. America's a melting pot, guys.
America.
America.
All right. All right, so thanks for listening to the show. If you were listening live and you could not hear, you know, Tony and Justin, you know, that's my fault. I'll figure out what happened because, you know, I did this previously and it worked. Totally. You got to believe me, guys. It totally worked. All right, so thanks for listening. I'm going to wrap this up. Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.